Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about things. I'm usually so prepared, but we just have lots of things going on. Okay, let's start over. Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we do that because there are so many toxic chemicals around in all kinds of things, in our consumer products, in our homes, in our bodies, in the air we breathe, et cetera, et cetera. And there's also so many things that are not toxic, so many wonderful things that are not toxic, like organic food and natural toys and natural fiber clothing. And I just love all these not toxic things. And today we're going to talk about beeswax candles. It's at that time of year where we're celebrating for holidays. It's also dark outside, and traditionally, there's this tradition of doing things like lighting fires and lighting candles to keep the light burning, the light of the sun going through the darkest nights of the year. And so today we're going to talk about beeswax candles as a safe alternative to those other candles, and just how beautiful they are to use. It's just, I will get myself together here. Okay, my guest today is Heidi Sanner, founder and managing member of Candle Bee Farm. We'll be talking about, as I said, beeswax candles. And she is, you know what, I'm just going to say, hi, Heidi, you can tell us all about yourself.
Hi,
I'm not usually this scattered.
Has the cold gotten to you yet there?
No, it's just what's going on this morning is that I'm having trouble with my email. And so I'm back and forth trying to like handle all these technical problems. And so I'm doing things at the very last minute. And usually I'm sitting here being very prepared.
Oh.
But we'll just get started. And I don't have your email. Heidi sent me a lovely email with a lot of information, and we talked about what the questions were going to be and everything. And I just don't have anything. So.
Oh, well, that's great. That leaves it all up to me. I can talk about whatever I care to then.
That's right. You can. So why don't you start by telling us all about yourself? And specifically, I'll ask you the question. Tell us, tell us about your business and what you do, but also tell us your story about how you became interested in this. Where did you come from? What changed your mind? What changed your mind to make you want to raise bees and make candles and all of those things?
Okay. Well, I tell you what, this endeavor has taught me that every piece and portion of our life is important in how it comes together. And we don't see it at the time, but later all the pieces fit and we learn from them.
I totally agree.
In saying that, the people who ask me the question you just asked me, they think my life and what I have done is so disjointed. And if you look at it piece by piece, you would say yes. But in the end, it all came together. How I got into the natural side of living was that I really grew up that way. I was the daughter of German immigrants. So I spent summers with family in Europe. And in Europe, especially then, I'll give away my age here, in the 1960s, they lived very naturally still.
Yes.
They weren't into the 1950s, 1960s packaged foods and, you know, and all the really neat over-the-counter, you know, goodies we could get here. And they were still collected herbs on every walk and hung them in their attics.
Wow.
My relatives still kept goats and use dogs to herd them up in the mountains. And I know this sounds like a story, but it really is true. And my relatives also kept bees. That was their way of sweetening. And Germans are big into their baking.
Yes.
They want their sweets. So, I remember, you know, my grandfather's bee houses, they kept them actually in houses. And every beehive had its own entrance. And we would go in through the back with a little door. You know, they keep them that way because it gets so cold over there. And he would be smoking his pipe and we'd tend these bees. It was really cool. So that was in my memory bank. And that is, you know, they made their own soaps. They everything was very natural in my life, how we ate. And I grew up that way. So over here, fast forward, you know, to my life here in the USA. I don't know, you may have an international listener base.
We actually do have an international listener base. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, I grew up in the USA, though, basically, with summers in Europe. So I became, when I got out of college, a medical technologist. People think I'm, you know, you tend bees, you have this, your own, you know, beekeeping business, you must be really laid back and just, you know, feed birds and have, drink tea and have a wonderful life. Honestly, no, you can probably tell in my voice, I'm very type A. I'm very analytical. I'm very scientific oriented. So what appealed to me was medical technology. And I have a degree, a four-year degree, and a two-year internship in medical technology. And I did my internship in a veterans hospital. So I saw everything, I mean, everything in that type of environment. Again, you know, for the good and the bad, it all pieces together. And I couldn't take that anymore. It was so depressing, and the hours were horrendous. So I decided I would do something that with a 9-to-5 kind of job and have a life, right?
Yes.
And what I picked was certified public accounting. I became a CPA. Yeah, like right. Then I was really up all night doing taxes. So I did that and worked in a corporate atmosphere, and you know, learned how to run businesses and controller and financial analyst. Which I did enjoy because I like the science. I like that type of thing, problem solving. But I couldn't take the politics.
Yes.
And after a layoff, in the meantime, I had bought this farm as sort of and built my home here on 83 acres in the hills of Kentucky. And it was my, you know, my place to have peace. And I started keeping bees as a hobby. Again, just because it appealed to me from my, you know, my roots. After the layoff, I just thought, I am not doing this anymore. I'm not doing the rat race. I'm not going to be what other people want me to be. What can I do here on this farm that I can make a living off of, make something good for people, you know, create non-toxic products from renewable resources.
Right.
The beekeeping, just that's something I could do. You know, I can't keep livestock by myself. I can't, you know, I can't farm. I didn't have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do the beekeeping. And I just grew that and grew it, and that's how that came about. And started making the beeswax candles, just like my relatives did. And so that's how it got, that's the history behind how that evolved. Sort of, you know, was not planned. It was just...
Well, often that's the way it goes, and I must say that your candles are beautiful. They're unique and artistic and beautiful, and it's more than just, you know, the little rolled up beeswax candle or even a dipped candle. These, I really encourage everybody to go to your website, which is candlebeefarm.com, and see the artistry that you put into these candles. And I think you sent me in your bio that, excuse me, that these are handcrafted,
yes,
and that they're sought after and used by famous celebrities, and they're in exquisite restaurants and high-end,
yes,
hotels, and I can see why, because they really are those kinds of candles, and they've been in Hollywood movies, and so there's this balance between this really beautiful artistic thing that you've created and the naturalness and the close to nature and the having them be healthy and not toxic. So it's you know, when I first started looking for non-toxic products, I had this idea, excuse me, I had this idea that the industrial consumer world was the standard. It's like everything had to be like the industrial products. And I soon found that the things that were handmade and natural and grown on farms and all of these things, they were so much more lovely and pleasing to be with. And your products really epitomize that, really embody that whole different world. It's like as opposite from industrialism as you can get.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. We need to take
you,
a break. We need to take a break, so we'll go on after the break.
Okay.
I'm Deborah Lindab. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and I'm here with Heidi Sanner, who is the founding and managing member of Candle Bee Farm. That's Candle Bee Farm. www.deborahmcdonald.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Heidi Sanner, founding and managing member of Candle Bee Farm, where she makes beautiful, beautiful, beautiful toxic-free beeswax candles. Heidi, during the break, I actually got the email going, so I have the questions that we discussed.
Okay, great.
So let's, now that we know who you are, let's talk about candles in general and some of the toxic exposures that people can get from ordinary candles.
Okay. You want me to take off?
Go ahead. Take off.
All right. Well, I think, you know, I can't really speak for other candles because I don't delve in other candles, petroleum-based, soy-based, palm-based. I deal in beeswax, and I'll tell you why. Beeswax, 100% beeswax, is the only wax that is naturally occurring in nature. Now, if you think about it, you can, you know, I scrape it right out of the hive, filter it to get the bee's knees out of it, and it goes right into the candle. There's nothing in between. There's nothing added whatsoever. It doesn't need to be. Most manufacturers do, and we can delve into why later. But beeswax is the only true wax. You cannot take a soy plant and make it into a wax.
And burn it, yeah. Yeah.
So it won't make a wax without adding something else, which is, i.e., petroleum products. You can't take a palm tree and make it into a candle without making it into a wax. It's not a wax.
Yeah.
So that, you know, this is all you mentioned about, you know, toxic products, and what we have to be careful is these are all marketing schemes. And we get lulled very easily into these gentle-sounding, beautiful terminology, you know, words. But when you start to deduct it down, it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm burning a soy plant and smelling it. No. So beeswax is wax. It's made from the bee's thorax. They make it in little shaving, little discs, just like a spider spins a web. A bee makes beeswax. So we don't have to add anything to it. Now, the other thing to be very careful of if you buy a beeswax candle is, does it say 100% beeswax? Because if it doesn't say 100% beeswax, it's only 50% beeswax.
Well, what are they mixing it with?
Petroleum products.
Well, now, there's something
your basic petroleum wax.
There's something I'd like to say here in response to what you said. Throughout all different kinds of products, I've found that, and I'll just use them as an example, say the cosmetics industry, because when I first started doing this more than 30 years ago, what were called natural cosmetics were cosmetics that were where the original source material might have come from a coconut or something like that, that is natural, renewable resource. But then it got processed and mixed with petrochemicals and petroleum, so that it was no longer a coconut. It was no longer what you found in nature.
Or it's been cooked down, and the properties of what you're buying are no longer in there.
Right. It's not something of nature. It's an industrialized nature.
Yeah. And generally, it's the opposite. It's the basic industrial product that has a little natural thrown in it.
Like, right.
We'll take this
petroleum-based product. Well, that's another way to do it.
We'll throw a little coconut oil in there and call it natural.
But the point that I'm wanting to make is that there is natural material that comes directly from nature. It's made by nature, like an apple is made by nature.
Right.
And that you eat it in its natural form. And I want to be really clear that you're saying that beeswax comes from nature in the state that you see it in the beeswax candle. Like, it's just like eating an apple. It's that natural. And
correct,
that even though you may see on the label things like soy and palm and hemp or other vegetable waxes, as you said, you can't burn those plants, that they need to be transformed into these waxes. They need to have the wax pulled out of them, or they need to have the wax mixed with petroleum or whatever to make it burn. And so they're kind of misleading, or ersatz, I think is the word, but I think most people don't know what ersatz means. But it's like it's pretend. It says that it's something, but it's not 100%, as you said. And this is something that happens all throughout industry. Is it something that is labeled to be natural, but it's not? So I think that's a very, very good point that you made. And I want to make sure that everybody gets it, that beeswax is the only thing, the only wax that when you have a beeswax candle, it's absolutely 100% nature made by the bees.
Correct. And make sure it says 100% beeswax.
Yes.
Now, even within the manufacturers that make 100% beeswax, well, because if it's not, it's 50-50 something else. Even the manufacturers that say 100% beeswax often add hardeners to the wax. This gives it a little more of a sheen. It makes it, beeswax is rather soft. If you hold one of my candles, I've had a man once said, my goodness, they touch you back. It's because it's just a very soft, energetic type of feeling. It's a softer wax. It feels different. It's denser. It's heavier than what you're used to when you pick up a candle. Beeswax candles are very heavy and condensed, 100%, as compared to anything other candle you would pick up. So they're more expensive to ship also, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Make sure it says 100%, and then within that, ask your manufacturer, are there any chemicals added? And they'll say no, because they don't even consider that a chemical. It's just part of their process.
Right, and I think
there are hardeners, and there are chemicals used to make the candle molds release faster. There's all kinds of things within the process that we don't know about that you have to be very careful of. They tell me I'm nuts for not adding these things. I just refuse to. But then I have, I get the high sensitive people in my market who know.
Yeah.
They know the value of my candles. So that's important to me.
Well, I think that it's one of the good things about ordering products directly from the person who makes them. I mean, here you are directly collecting the beeswax from the hive and making it into a candle. So you know what's in it and what isn't
right.
In it. And that's in comparison to somebody who is, say, buying the beeswax from someone else and then making and you don't know
what's in it. And the source of your wax is very important.
Yeah. We need to take a break. So we'll take our break and then we'll come back and talk more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lee Dad. We're talking with Heidi Sanner. She's the founder of Candle Bee Farm, making her own beeswax candles, her own beautiful beeswax candles. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and my guest today is Heidi Sanner. She's the founder of Candle Bee Farm at candlebeefarm.com and makes beautiful, beautiful beeswax candles. Heidi, how is beeswax different from other waxes? Isn't a flame a flame a flame a flame? I know one of the ways it's different is that it smells gorgeous. I love having that honey smell when I burn my beeswax candles.
Well, it's very different. You know, aside from what we just talked about, the makeup of it, actually, it burns differently also. The flame of 100% beeswax is stronger. It's larger, it's taller, it's much brighter, very bright flame. And the reason is beeswax is the only wax that when it burns, it's totally consumed within the flame. And that's why it burns non-toxic, hypoallergenic, smokeless, dripless, sootless, because there is nothing, theoretically, there is nothing given off. It's all consumed within the flame. And that's the phenomenon that makes it such the perfect, non-toxic product, and the only non-toxic wax to burn in a candle.
Wow. I didn't know that about beeswax candles. Can you tell us about the wicks that are used? Because I know that there's lead wicks in some candles.
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
There would not be lead wicks in yours.
No, I use 100% cotton. There are lead wicks, there are paper wicks, there are lead core, paper cord wicks, there are cotton wicks that are lead core, cotton wicks that are paper, there's all kinds of tricks to the trade, but what you want is 100% cotton wick. They burn the cleanest, they burn most totally with the least amount of emissions.
Yes.
And even within the 100% cotton wicks, again, you know, you have to be careful, because how was that cotton processed into a wick? Was it given acid rinses, lubricants? You know, what was the process of this and the weaving? So you need a true natural fiber. And of all what we've just listed, lead, paper, cotton is actually the only true natural fiber. Now, there have been experiments with hemp wicks. The only thing is, from what I've found, my personal experiments and research and what I've done here, is the hemp does not uptake the beeswax very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, hemp is a denser fiber.
Yeah, it will not uptake the wax, and the flame doesn't stay, you know, lit. So I could not get it to work, whereas the cotton is very absorbent, much more absorbent, and absorbs the wax, and it all goes away, and it's just beautiful, and you have your wonderful non-toxic candle.
Mm-hmm. I just love beeswax candles. I do. So what about essential oils or other scents that are added to candles?
Yes, I'm sorry. You mentioned that they smell so good. The reason that they smell so good, or candle bee farm candles smell so good, is because we do not add anything. The hive itself, the beehive, is infused with the smell of honey, and it's totally natural, and it comes through in the wax,
yes,
in the yellow wax. Now, if you want a white wax candle, and we've filtered it, you know, we have to filter it at least 5 times to get it back to an off-white, whiter ivory color. It will never be white here because we don't bleach, but even our ivory-colored ones will have less scent because I'm also filtering out that honey scent. That is naturally in there. It's an aroma. I hate to use the word scent because we associate that with something we put
right
in.
Right. No, I think aroma is a really good word, and it's just so lovely.
Yeah.
It's just so warm. I only burn just the natural yellow beeswax candles.
And Deborah, please let me talk to essential oils, because this is extremely important.
Oh, please do. Please do.
And people are very confused about this. I get emails, and people get mad at me because I will not put essential oils in my candles and make them smell like rose or lavender.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I'm going to say about that. Essential oils are wonderful. Put them in your bath water. Sprinkle them on your pillowcase. You know, put them on your wrists. That's aromatherapy. Yes, wonderful. However, think about this. A tobacco plant growing in this field is a beautiful flower. And we can go out and smell that flower. We can smell the tobacco plant, and it's wonderful. But it's not meant to be burned and inhaled. The minute we burn it and inhale it, it's not good for us, right?
Right.
Okay, that same is true for a rose or lavender or any of these things that the essential oils are made out of. They're condensed. They condense the scent. They're in a carrier oil. And even if it's all a perfect pristine process, it's wonderful to smell it. It is not meant to be burned and inhaled. And that is still dangerous. It's still toxic. And I want to make sure people understand that.
Thank you.
And that's the reason I will not use them in my candles.
That's a very important point. So are there any manufacturing guidelines or restrictions or labeling laws or any kind of laws that relate to candles for public protection?
Oh, sadly, actually, there are not. But the Environmental Protection Agency, in conjunction with the Center for Disease Control, have done studies about, you know, the safety within an enclosed room. And they conducted an extensive study, I think it was in 2001, they actually did a scientific setup in a 15 by 12 room with 10-foot ceilings, which is a pretty big room. You know, not many of us have 10-foot ceilings and 15 by 12. And they burned all these different types of candles. And they have a set limit of what they consider safe to breathe in of, you know, lead and petrochemicals, if you think any of that safe, but it was like 1.5.
There is no safe level.
Yeah, well, they're safe levels. You know, our official safe levels.
Our official safety levels, yeah.
Yeah. We're 1.5 micrograms per cubic meter. Now, when they burned, they did this study, and they revised it later in, like, 2004, 2005. You can look it up on the CDC website. When they found that burning a candle in that big of a room for 1 hour, I forget the size of the candle, but it was a one-wick candle, exceeded their acceptable levels by 13%. Burning it for 5 hours exceeded the acceptable levels by 27%.
Wow.
And if you added, you know, multi-wicks or multi-candles, you can, that even, it was even worse. And so, you know, that's pretty scary. And again, you know, and if you, and that was unscented candle. If they had added scents or, you know, any additives to these candles, it was even worse. So, it gives you an idea of what you're breathing in when we burn other types of candles. So, yeah, 100% beeswax is the only candle deemed to be non-toxic.
Excellent. Excellent to find that out. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with my guest, Heidi Sanner, founder of Candle Bee Farm. That's candlebeefarm.com. And you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and that's it, toxicfreetalkradio.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Heidi Sanner, founder of Candle Bee Farm. And her website is candlebeefarm.com. And Heidi, I've just been looking at your website during the break. Again, I looked at it earlier. And you have so many different kinds of candles, and they're different types. So why don't you tell us about the different ways that you can turn beeswax into candles?
Well, I don't, I'll have to disagree a little bit. I don't turn beeswax into anything. The wax
maybe I misspoke. I mean, you have beeswax and then it becomes a candle.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm looking at these and I see you have tapers and I see that you have the kind that are rolled up and I see you have some that look like they're carved.
Right.
How do you fashion the wax into candles? Is that a better way to put it?
Yeah, the wax is actually the honeycomb within the hive. Honeycomb is made of wax. Now, they store the honey in the honeycomb. So when we as beekeepers extract the honey, you're left with the honeycomb, which is then returned to the hive. But at the end of the season, you don't want all that returned back because it would make the hive, those hives get like 5 and 8 stories high, and you reduce them down so that the bees will actually survive over the winter so that they can heat a smaller space, if that makes sense. So, and they will regenerate that honeycomb in the spring, and that's their natural way of doing things. That's what they would do in the wild, even. They would do that within a tree. They would cut that down so into a smaller space so that they can keep warm over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So this leftover honeycomb is then heated down. It'll melt at 140 degrees. So that's another important aspect of different ways of making the candles. Here we use a solar melter, which is just glass under the sun in a big, big pan about as big as a screen door, about as big as someone's front door. And it goes through there, and it goes through, you know, a wire grate and several types of filtrations until we get it clean, because there is stuff in there. There, you know, bees die in the hive, bees defecate. You want all that out of there. It all gets filtered out through different filtrations. And what you use to filter is very important as well. We use only, you know, natural, increasingly smaller and smaller filters. So as that's warmed by the sun, it goes down through these little gutters, and we come out with hives. It's a very time-consuming process, but it's a natural process.
It seems so beautiful to me listening to this. I can see the wax. I've seen beehives, so I know exactly what you're talking about. So I can see the wax coming from being made by the bees and coming out of the hive and going in your solar pan with the glass on it and the sun, the light of the sun, and then it turns into a candle and you burn the light, and it just all seems like such a beautiful natural process.
Yeah, when you do it that way, it preserves all the properties that were in there to begin with that nature put in.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. Plus, I don't have all this cooking and burning. And if you overheat the beeswax, like I said, it burns at about 140 degrees. If you overheat it, it actually will not perform well in the candle, which is why candles perform very well, because it's their first burning, so to speak. I never recommend taking a beeswax candle and melting it down to make it into another candle. I would never do that. It won't perform correctly.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
So,
there's a lot of science behind it. It's not just when you really do it correctly, and very few people know how to do that. You really need a chandelier, which is a fancy word for expert candle maker, to know these things.
So once you have your melted beeswax, then what do you do next?
Well, then I have the molds. Pour them into the different molds, and it takes about 4 hours for each one to set up. You put your cotton wick through your mold and you pour your beeswax in, and then you, after the end of about 4 hours, you gently peel off the molds, and then at that point you have your candle. And then there's still, the leveling process and cutting the wicks to the proper size and inspection. They don't all turn out all the time. Little air bubbles get in there sometimes. And that's basically it. It's a very old world process here.
How do you get those beautiful shapes? Like, I'm looking at your pillars that have the little scroll work and textures
that's
things. Is that part of the mold?
That's a carved mold, yeah. We have a carving and had a mold made out of it. Yeah.
I just love the way your candles look. So I keep talking about these beautiful candles. So I should tell our listeners that you have everything from just plain tapers. You also have those, the octagonal shaped tapers. You've got the rolled honeycomb kind of candles. You've got tea lights. You've got little tapers that you can use as birthday candles. And you've got these other beautiful ones too. You've got molds for animal shapes and angels and gargoyles. And did I leave anything out? Even an ear of corn?
Oh, the lanterns. The lanterns.
The lanterns. Tell us about the lanterns.
They're beeswax lanterns, and you set a beeswax tea light within the lantern. The lantern's decorated with wildflowers from the farm, real wildflowers. They're embedded into the wax, and it's just a globe, and a tea light sits down into there and burns, so it's reusable. You just keep replacing the tea lights, and when the lanterns burn, it's beautiful. You can see the silhouette of the colors of the flowers come through. That's always a very nice gift, especially because it is reusable. I've got them sitting everywhere.
There's a beautiful picture on the website of the, and I'm imagining that each one is unique and handmade, of course, because the flowers are from the farm, so there's no two alike. It's beautiful.
The best value, when people say, well, why is beeswax so expensive? Well, for everything we just discussed, plus our beeswax is organic. We do not use chemicals in our hives, which most, I would say, 99% of beekeepers do. Beeswax burns is actually a value because it burns five times longer than other waxes or wax combinations. So, in the long run, you're getting a better value, and a longer burning, brighter flame. And you have to be careful about the source of the wax as well. And I'm sorry, that didn't answer your question. I've gotten off on track here.
It's okay. What was my question you didn't answer?
I don't remember.
I don't either. I'm just so fascinated by everything that you're saying and hearing all about as I said earlier, this is just about the most opposite as you can get from something that's industrial. But I want to really make this point because we rely so much in this culture on things being made in factories and things being made by machines, that when you actually have a material that comes from nature where the bees are making it because it's part of their own life process, but then at the end of that, they give it to us. That it's not like we're taking anything from the bees that they need in order to live. It's something that's left over from their life process. And right. then we can take that and turn it into something that's a source of light and useful to us. And it's just, to me, everything should be that way. That, right. that we should just be able to take materials from nature that are offered to us by the other species and use them to our benefit so that there's an interchange of life.
And that all depends on, you know, good beekeeping, good animal husbandry.
Yes.
You know, where we inspect our hives, we know what our bees need to keep for themselves and what we can take. Again, you know, it helps both that way. That does get exploited a lot, but as long as, and I never understand why, because those that exploit and take too much from the bees actually, you know, hurt themselves, because next year they're not going to have that beehive.
It's not either. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you do all this with an ear for what happens naturally, everybody wins, especially humans. You know, even with using the chemicals in the hive, I've always done that naturally. Of course, my ancestors didn't have chemicals, so I
right.
knew no other way. But, you know, most beekeepers will get in there and they'll clean out what we call the drone cells, which is the cells that for the male bees. You don't want too many male bees in your hive. All they do is eat and take up room. They don't really contribute. we'll just leave that hanging.
I won't comment on that.
But that, it's a very female universe in a beehive. All worker bees, all honey gatherers are female. But if you clean out the drone cells are what attract the mites, the Varroa mites. That mm-hmm. would happen naturally if we humans would just leave them alone.
Heidi, I need to interrupt you right yes. here because we've only got about 15 seconds left.
Okay.
And so I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. And again, tell my listeners that your website is candlebeefarm.com, and it's really been a pleasure today. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thanks for helping me to get the word out to people. I think you can tell I'm very passionate about that.
Yes, I can. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindell.